Turn with me in your Bible, which you have in front of you in the pew, to this great chapter of victory in the first book of Kings, chapter 18, and what a chapter it is. I want to preach upon the Pope fired. Now, I'm not meaning that we have to put a torch to him and let him burn, but I'm saying he sacked. Who sacked the Pope? The Pope never had any right to be a Pope, and so the Lord never drew up terms of service. But the Lord has sacked the Pope of Rome, and every other human being would attempt to be a Pope. Christ builds his own church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. This chapter, in the 18th chapter of the first book of Kings, is a tremendous chapter. I was delighted when I was studying this out, how we have the visions of the different types of people that were in that tremendous concourse of people. All the representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel, all packed to the foot of the Mount Carmel. What a strange congregation. First of all, there were those among that crowd, and they hesitated. They didn't know whether they should have come or not come. They were double-minded people. They wanted to hold the hands of the truth and also to hold the hands of falsehood. And so they were hesitating, not knowing whether to remain or to stay. Severe strain was upon them. To say the least of it, they were very, very uncomfortable in that great concourse of people. Oh, they would talk about religion. It's interesting how people will talk about religion but not about Christ. Oh, they were prepared to argue theology. It is interesting how people are interested in arguing theology. And yet the very basis of true theology is the revelation of God in his precious word. And so we see them gathering. They started off with a mutter, and then it got a bit louder, and they were here, there, and yonder, amid the crowds, the people who were hesitating. But there was another crowd, and it was a dedicated crowd. There was 7,000 of them that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. But they put their lapel buttons into their deepest pocket, and nobody ever knew that they were a dedicated people. 7,000 of them. Not one of them come up and said, "God bless you, Elijah. We're with you." Not one of them patted him in the back and said, "Big man, you have had a hard time of it. We have listened to the reports. Thank God to see you here today to take on these evil prophets." complete silence. What a tragedy. 7,000 that would not bow the knee to Baal, but they were not prepared publicly to acknowledge they were in the Lord's side. And then we had those that remained in secret. There was no openness about them at all. They didn't run with any crowd that could be seen that day in that vast concourse of people. They didn't declare who they were for when Elijah proposed that they would have an altar for the truth and an altar for evil. And the God that answered by fire, they would acknowledge that he was the God. But these people remained in silence, in secret. And then, of course, there were real full-blooded apostates there. How many of them were there? There was 450 of them. They were sworn and committed to Baal, to the false religion and the false doctrine of heathenism. And they were there, dressed up in all their cloaks and ready to have a great sacrifice to the fable of a god called Balaam. And then there was one other. He was isolated. His name was Elijah. And he stood alone among the crowd. But notice, he took over. He made the dictation. He decided how the job would be done. He didn't let one of these apostates open their mouth. It's a great thing when apostates have their mouths closed and their teeth pulled and their tongues cut. And that's what happened there that day. I hope you see the mountain. You can't see any soil. It's covered with a thick concourse of thousands and thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of Israelites. And among them there is this man. What a strange man he was, clothed in his leathern girdle. He looks a tough man. The wind has blown in his face, for he has been sleeping out many days without a bed or a head covering for him in the time of night. He has been laboring at the great work of prayer. A seasoned warrior. A man who would not give in. A man who was determined to stand fast in the liberty wherewith God had made him free. And he said, I'm only one man. You've got 450, you priests. So I'll be very mannerly and I'll let you go first. I really smiled when I read that. Because old Elijah knew that he was going to have the last word. And so he had, when he landed the whole 450 down and chopped off all their heads. Think of that. My, some holy ruling brothers would say, that's an awful thing. You know what he did? He cut their heads off. But you know what those men had done? They had butchered the whole life of the Israelite people and turned them over to ungodliness and sin. Who were the greater errors made by these men? But when they heard that they were going to have this great offering, they were delighted. And so they built an altar. And so they brought the animals for the slaughter. And so they started their religious time of so-called prayer. Chanting. I'd like to have seen the face of Elijah. It wasn't unpleasant, because I noticed that Elijah is laughing. He's laughing. I actually laughed when I saw the Pope this week, and I laughed more this morning when a mean man on the BBC said, isn't it wonderful the sunshine has come out? The sunshine never come out, for it was a poor meeting and there was rain all through it. And here was a wee man from the BBC, and they saw rain. Hastened him to the doctor quickly and get him seen to. If he doesn't know what rain is, we'll bring him to Northern Ireland and let him get a good dose of it. Oh, the folly of these men trying to build up. They were to have terrible crowds, but the crowds didn't come. They wanted to cover over all the wickedness they have done to children, but it wasn't covered over. And at the end of the day, it was revealed that the man they were about to make a saint of, he was a homosexual. And they actually had to put the photograph of his partner was put on the BBC. You talk about an exposure. I'm sure the most unhappy man tonight is the old Pope going home. And going home to a place like Italy is dangerous for him. Because, you know, all the popes die in Rome. That's where they die. And it would not be any surprise to me to see something happening to this Pope after this visit. Something terrible. I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet, but I know that God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. So we now have a different circumstances. And then these men cried, and then Elijah says, cry higher. Get away from the lower dough and go to the top dough. And let's hear what you're like when you're shouting. And they bawled and they shouted and they danced and they took off their shoes and they danced again until the blood was flowing out of them. What a scene. But upon them was the curse of God. And when they had come to the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah took over. He rebuilt the altar that was broken down. If ever was a time we need the rebuilding of old Reformation principles, it's today. If ever we needed to return to the Bible and the old authorized version of the Bible, which was the Bible of revival, we need to do it. We need to return and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. And after he had done it, he looked at them and he said, I want you to be very sure that there's going to be no strange happenings here by the power of man's strength. But there's going to be a great miracle here by God making his bear his arm. And so he did. And this man prayed. He prayed over an altar that was soaked with water and an altar that had a trench of water around it. It seemed impossible in the heat of that day the fire would come. But thank God it came. The Lord, he is the God. That's what burst from the lips of the people. They could not deny the eternal reality of the miracle that was happening before their eyes. God Almighty was working. Elijah wanted to get Ahab home quickly. I think the Holy Spirit has a sense of humor here. Because Jezebel, the painted doll and the whore of a woman, as it was the wife of Ahab, was waiting for Ahab. And the great patriarch was running, and prophet running. And when he got to the gate of Jezreel, he didn't go in, for he didn't want to see the painted Jezebel. But I'm sure he wasn't far away till he heard the cry of anger from the lips of that woman. Not long after her, the dogs were to lick up her blood. Just remember that. What was happening here? God was making bare his arm. And he made it bare. The idolatry was silenced and broken. The 450 priests were slaughtered. And the people cried, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord. He is the God. Of course, that was not the end of the story. The end of the story ends in heaven. When God's faithful man didn't die like any other man, the Lord sent one of his chariots from heaven to announce, not that he was going to take the man of God Elijah home, but to announce that the chariots of the Lord and the horsemen thereof were back among the people of God. And God sent a whirlwind, and Elijah was gone. But he came back when Jesus' foot touched the mountain. And he discussed with Christ something far more important than the scene that I have just described. They talked about a cross of Calvary. And about the Son of Man who would die for sinners. Free men from the power and the chains and the lust of sin. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I'm part of that crowd that's singing that. And someday I'm going to sing in heaven. I'm going to call a one-man solo in heaven. I hope you'll come. And at Glory Corner, I'm going to sing of my Redeemer and my friend forever and ever. Oh, what must it be to be there? To sit down with old Elijah and hear Elijah tell it as he alone could tell it. What a thrill that's going to be. To walk up the golden steps of the royal throne and to gaze upon my Savior, my Lord, my God, my brother, and the lover of my soul. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When I'll see him face to face. And tell the story, saved by grace. Tell me, are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you're not, thank God you can be saved now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And all you've got to do is just to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And oh, what a rest the Savior gives. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're ready for heaven? Aren't you glad that Elijah's God still lives today? To take the guilt of sin away, and when I cry in Jesus' name, he answers still by fire. May God bless his word to your heart. And if you want to talk with me about the need of personal assurance of salvation, do come and meet with me in the little room here to my right hand side and get it settled for all eternity. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank thee tonight for the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We thank thee that Christ builds his own church, and the gates of hell and the gates of the Pope's city will not control it or stop it. The house is being built. To be there, oh, what must it be to be there? Bless this congregation as they leave this building, and grant that thy peace and thy mercy may be with them for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.